Session number 16721. Stay with Greg, reel 6.
Greg, reel 6. Did you come in contact with the Indian Army, the Indians in the Indian Army?
Oh, yes.
What were your opinion of those?
Oh, they're good. That's if, see, you had to treat them with respect. Well, they're human beings like yourself. You've got some fellas, you know, black so-and-sos and pushy and nasty with them. Once you start that, they wouldn't do anything for you. But if you accepted them, I'll give you an answer now. Still, I've gone farther. But these Indians, they were on a ship, and they were laboring. The Indians was unloading transport in it. Now then, they had their tea breaks, and they brought you a cup of tea. It was a good cup of milk, spoilt with a drop of tea, you know, but you used to drink it. It was horrible, but my mates and I, we used to drink it. We used to eat the chapatis. Now, see, one of the nicest cup of teas I had was in a muddy hut in Bombay. Now, when you'd done that, when you had to get back onto the deck, hoping, pushing wagons onto nets and things like that, and you put your shoulder to the wheel, they'd do anything for you, that they admired you. But if you stood back and said, come on, you back so-and-so, get this, they wouldn't do it. And this is what I found with them. Well, the natives, the army, the same.
As a soldier, what was he like, the Indian?
Good soldiers, bad beaters, you know, in Arakan, they're telling me that a war correspondent come down this hill and he stops and he says, have you heard of Jesse Owens? And one of the lads says, why? He says, there's thousands of them coming down. And it was the Indian Army, the Japs. This was at the beginning when the Japs was
advancing.
I wasn't in Arakan at the time. I was at this place, Tana. And it's just outside of Bombay. And we were on training landing craft.
Yeah, but we'll come to that then.
Now then, I got malaria, and I went to the hospital, and I missed the Arakan.
To stick with Ahmed Nagar for a little while longer, you say basically it was quite a good camp.
A good camp. We still carried on training. In India, there's these big reservoirs. They call them tanks. You could sail the Queen Mary on them. And a lot of the exercises, I still cannot swim, but we used to do train in there. My ground sheets, my rifles, and my packs, and you tied them together and it floated. They used to get, this was for crossing rivers and that. The Gunnan swimmer at the back, the swimmer at the front, swimmer, you know. And the non-swimmer at the back, hanging on, kicking his legs across rivers and all this. We used to do this practice.
And was this with your uniform?
But see, you just went into water and out, you know. We didn't see him. We had a toggle rope. You probably see this on the television, there's this program the college where they get points for going over the course. You know, and they mention a toggle bridge. And these toggle ropes all link together and it makes a bridge, you know. And all rehearsals like this.
And was that done with live ammunition?
It
was being fired, or?
With the ammo. Oh, you had your bundle, yeah, Lord, you know.
But you say you were crossing rivers, but this was in action. No, not in action, but in training that train. Had ammunition going off, shells going off, whatever.
Oh, no.
There was nothing like that.
Odd times it was, like, you know, they had this background in. But getting back to the second div. Now, in India, until we went over, it used to be like in the old days. They used to train at night. During the day in hot sun, they're laying about in the sun. So then, when we went, they had us out. Dorms and were group marches. After we walked, marched north so far, right, stop, right, your water, one drink, and wash your mouth out and spit it out. Don't swallow it. Any man that swallows or drinks it, you know, it's on a charge. Your feet will not hit the button. And away you set off again. The next stop, right, your water. On your hand and cool the back of your neck with it. But no drinking. Any man that drops, just walk over them. There's a cart coming up to pick them up. And we've done this. And we've done exercise schemes, you know. And I found out that we could do it. And after that, the whole idea, the whole system changed. And this is what I say about the British second div. It was an all British div, self-contained and all that. But I'd been trained to do any type of war.
So they gave you jungle training, did they?
We do.
Whilst you were Dharmadaga?
That's it. Right. This is where we're doing work. Jungle training. Commando training. The commandos. You cannot swim, can you not? Get in. All unarmed, deep, you know.
Unarmed combat.
Combat and stuff. With the commandos. We were trained to fight anywhere. Carriers, with the carriers. I get on about the carriers. My war service was mainly with the carriers all the way, like, you know. And I've had them like that, up.
You liked the carrier, did you?
Oh, I think it was great. All your own repairs, you know. And even in action, you know. Bogey wheel goes and you just put your jacket in there and just for use, and you could do all sorts.
Jungle training you mentioned, what kind of training was that? You know, what exactly were they teaching you to do in the jungle?
Well, fighting, advancing through the trees. You all had you had matches, you know, to hack your way through.
It must be difficult to keep together and keep cohesion.
That's right, latrines and stuff like this. Certain fruits you could eat, you know. There are bananas, wild bananas, or pasty food. They kept you going.
You were taught to identify these, were you?
Well, it didn't just come natural to you, you know. When I was a little man, I used to go to the shop and buy what they call locusts. It was like a hard, deity thing with seeds in. They were wild there. And we used to two or three of them and stick them in. You know, you apart from that, there's all the bloody snakes and spiders and bloody ants. You pull the in for the night, you know, and you pull the branch down to camouflage your carrier, and your arm is covered in red ants. Not little ones, you know, big things. And you know, bloody. No animals, but snakes, little ones, big ones, the pythons. So I went over to python and I said, hey, pull up there and see what you've done. Did he kill it? And she said, no. I said, if I'd stopped there, and I could imagine its head coming over and said, hey, you're on my tail, you know.
So some of the snakes would be poisonous then?
Oh, aye. Cobras. Cobras, and there's lads. There was that, or lads, snakes got them. Next, a cobra, they say, if you kill one, you've got to kill his mate, a travelling pace. And it's true, that.
Were you taught how to deal with a snake bite?
Oh, no. But a snake, it's as frightened as you, is what you are of it. And in the jungle, you just through the grass, through the bushes. You weren't looking for them. You could be walking over the top of them. Or times you see them. As I say, we used to dig our toilets, dig a big trench, and put a bar, and you just sat on the bar there, you know. And you get bloody monkeys hanging stuff down at you. And you're sitting there, and there's this bloody snake comes along, and you're bugger. It helps you if you're constipated. You know what I mean? And it was, there's these old temples you went in, and there was these, what do you call them? Wasps, gannets, you know. Gannets, go on. Like massive big wasps.
I can't think of the word.
And if they stung you, well, you bloody jump for bloody few days.
Was there a great deal of illnesses due to the climate and the creatures, isn't it?
You could get people ate a lot of fruit. The fruit eat is the stuff where you take the skin off. The watermelons and they're sliced up, and when you pass the stores, you know, you couldn't see them for flies, you know. And some of the diseases, you could go from 20 stone down to 5 in a few days. It's beriberi and stuff like this, you know.
And then you had malaria. Then you had malaria.
And malaria.
What were the precautions that you had to undertake for malaria?
Well, malaria, when you got mapaquin tablets, like little yellow tablets. This is what you got, you know, now and again, or if you felt coming out at malaria, which is like a very heavy cold, you know, headaches and sweats. The first lot I got, I was in hospital a week, and I knew nothing. Then, they put me in penicillin. Quinine, you know, And you get there so many days on quinine. Now, when I first went in, I was in hospital about 3 weeks. And when I come out of that hospital, I went in hospital at Bombay, I come to in Pune. Then, when I come out of the hospital in Pune, I was in this convalescent camp. And you were there a month. It took about 2 months treatment. Eventually, they whittled down with these new injections and whittled it down to about a week. But I had one heavy one, and then in Burma, in the line, I had two attacks, and it was Mepoquine.
Didn't have to take a tablet every day, did you, whether you had it or not? Was it part of the routine to discipline?
Well, you got pockets of them to do this, you know.
And were you supposed to take a tablet daily?
No. They're just the standby, you know. Plus salt tablets. You've got salt tablets to take. Because you sweat. When you sweat, was that hot? And you're sweating. And when your body dried, you're white. It's the salt. And you've got salt tablets to take to keep your body right, you know. There was all sorts of, like dysentery, which you got by eating this fruit that that just went like lats.
So a lot of the men suffered from diseases, probably more than they suffered from wounds.
That's true.
Or were killed.
True.
There must have been a high turnover in the battalion. Because if you're losing men through illness as well as...
In action, they had the tents where they just pop you in. As soon as you got over the worst, you're back on the go again, you know.
So we were talking there about jungle training and the animals and diseases, etc. When you stopped in the jungle for a night exercise, or when you know, mm-hmm. what was the procedure then? You've come to a place, you've been stopped. We're not talking about action, we're talking about training.
Training.
What were you trained to do then?
Well, you could knock yourself a bit bed up, you know. Bamboo, wonderful thing. You could knock yourself a bit frame up, or clear a bit deck. Your camouflage net up, well tucked in, and you just slept in the open. Now then, in supplies, I always say the aeroplane that won the war in Burma was the Dakota, dropping supplies in. And on the bottom of each pack was, like a pad, the parachute, and there's some of the places where they were dropped. You know, you could grab yourself a parachute and two or three of these and make a bed, and, you know, you had to make do. We used to make ourselves a pipe. Bit bamboo, thin one, hollow, and a bit thicker, and cut it off at the notch, you know, and then cut it through, clean it out, and that, put it back in there. We used to buy pipes, but you used to break them in your pocket. Then we found out, oh, bamboo. If you cigarettes, you had no cigarettes. Burmese village, you see the old deer there, you know. And you go to a cigar, she's going to get a tobacco leaf, you know, and roll it flat, and she put a few hen's feathers and shavings there, you know, and a few tobacco leaves, and roll that up, and, you know, there you are, Johnny, and you never got a thing off it.
So you were digging out. What was the shape of your night camp or your night stop, in relation of where the men were placed or where the units were placed?
Well, in training, that'd be a clearing somewhere, and you just bed it down.
Did you have to dig in every night?
Dig a hole like this was in the training. Dig a hole, not like the old. You know, parapet and this, and you just dug a hole you could get into.
And with the carrier, did you still have your bedding or your slept outside the carrier?
That's it. Well, the carrier in the jungle, in the carrier, what I used to do, if you come to a tree, I used to, the carrier could swing it round in its own length, you know, and I used to get about there on that tree and swing it right round, just clear all the bush up to the bottom, you know. Then pull it to one side, and it left me room in the other on the cover. Because in the war, you had to think of snipers and things up a height. You know, there's all these, you could fill a book with little things, and it meant a lot. Yeah.
As part of your training, did they lecture you or tell you about the Japanese soldier and what to expect?
No.
You didn't get nothing like that?
No, nothing. Of course, when you got into action and you seen them lying about, you they all had dope on them.
Did you feel that the training that you got when you got into India, that initial training, was of great use to you when you actually came to fight the Japanese?
Well,
was it relevant to what you were going to
the
face?
The first action against the Japs, I missed it. I was in Bombay with a malaria. And when I come out of the hospital, I was sent back to Awanaga. This is where all the transport had been left behind, you see. Just the infantry lads went. Now then, the training I had, as I said, that it was just a bit background jungle fight, but they learnt more in that bit action. Well, we got pushed back, and this is where this Jesse Owens business. When the lads come back, and then we went into Kahima. They learnt a lot of experience there, and this is how, when they bent the jack again, and they knocked hell out bells out of them, you know.
So you were at Abhinaga undergoing training and so on. At what point did you catch your malaria?
Oh, this was we moved to this camp outside of Bombay, and we were training on landings from boats, you know. We were going to go up through the sewers and land in Italy. No.
Was that the rumour that was flying around?
This was the plan of action. And we were at Bombay in this camp, this Tana, and we were with the carriers and transport. We were going into Bombay and going on the ships, you know, and they're coming off on landing craft onto the beach. And this is what the training we were doing.
Did you have the same kind as landing craft at that point that were in D-Day, for example?
That's right,
exactly the same.
With the doors, and they should drop you off, and your carrier was all waterproofed up, you know, and they dropped you off, and you didn't know whether you were going to be above water or below water, you know, and you just put your foot down, you know, and kept it, and when you seen the water going down, you're great.
And how long did that training take?
A month or something like that, you know, if that.
So in effect, it was an invasion type of
that's right,
training you were undertaking.
Well, we were on boats in Bombay Harbour, ready to go up to Italy through the Suez Canal. When the balloon went up, the Japi was right on the Indian border, and they whipped her off, shoved her on rail, and whipped her across. And we off the rail there and straight up the road and straight into battle.
But it was whilst you were in this camp that you got your malaria attack, was it? Do you recall what date that would be? What time?
Yeah, yeah.
How long have you been at Ahmednagar?
About 6 months. About 6 months or so. Something like that.
And then you had this about this month at this other place.
That's it. See. Up to going into to Kahim, I was about 43. We went out in 42. 43. Beginning of 43 was roughly Arakan bit. Then they come back.
It's been late 42 then when you were
late 43, 44 when we went up to
Kahima.
Kahima.
So you had, what are the initial symptoms that you were feeling when the malaria took you? What was happening to you or to your body?
Well, I had terrific headaches and I was sweating. And I remember them sticking us in the ambulance and going to Bombay in the hospital there. And I remember them putting us in bed, a big camouflage net, and there was a sister there, all in white, and I had a stitch on. I know I had a stitch on, and I felt embarrassed, like, because I was a young innocent lad then, like, you know. And I just blacked out. Then when I come to, I was in Pune, in a bed in Pune, the same camouflage net, and it was dark. And there was a light shining through, and I know I had nothing on with the heat, and that, you know. Psh. And I heard his voice, and it was a woman's voice. And, "Are you all right, Greg? Are you all right?" And I knew I was naked, and I didn't want to see anything. Then the light was flashing over us, and and away it went. Then the next morning, come, "Yeah, you're back with me now, Mr. Greg, eh? You want a cup of tea?" And then I started getting the treatment to, but as I say, it's just like getting a very heavy cold. Your arms are aching and sweat, and when you get like that, bung loads on top of you, more heat on to get it sweated out. When I come out of the army, when I come home, I had a small tag at home, and the doctor come and he asked, "What do you think it is, Mr. Grant?" And I told him, yeah. And he brought us some penicillin quinine, and he got us some quinine tablets, and it wasn't as strong, the attack wasn't as strong as before, but it brought us back.
Did it stay with you throughout your life, malaria?
I've always been sniffy, and I've often wondered, is it the malaria that's, as if I've always got colds? Now then, I had trouble in my eye last November, and I went down to see this doctor, and he's an Egyptian doctor, and I mentioned this to him. He says, "No, I thought the malaria had my eye, you see." So,
was it a military hospital that you were in Pune?
Oh, yes, so.
How did they treat you there? Other than medication, I mean, how did they treat you?
Well, they were good. There were English nurses in this one. Pune was pretty English-like, the race courses and things like that.
Is there a rigid discipline in the hospital?
Oh, I have got to abide by rules. I mean, there was a sister there, she had one eye. and she was looking at somebody else with that bad eye, or a good eye, but that glass eye was all stuck in Joe, and you. But she was a good lass, good lass. They were all good lasses.
Were you woken up religiously every morning at a certain
That's
time?
That's right, and you had to be washed and shaved. And then you were allowed to get up, you know, and they used to, this, come in, these nurses, come in here, Greg, and me partner, Frankie Barr, hey, you two, come here, what do you think of this? And I'd been getting some perfume sent from home and that, you know, and I was putting it, what do you think of that, you know, and hiding the door, laughing, carry on, like, you know.